This is Wade Bransky with the Chief Organizer Report. A day without women here is a day about women everywhere. The limits of action without organization are hard to escape. In the United States, the call for a strike and actions by women to show America how badly the country would suffer without the contribution of women and their economic power was bound to suffer from the revolution of rising expectations set in motion by the mammoth women's marches earlier in the year. There were some school closings in Washington, some businesses were impacted, and of course the impact of reduced purchases, or alternatively, purchases in women-owned businesses are impossible to measure except anecdotally. Ironically, there were many women who said that they in fact couldn't strike, either because their work was vital in terms of caring for other women's health, for example, or they couldn't afford to lose the income or the job by acting alone, much of which proves even more emphatically how important women are in the workplace. I'm reminded of one of Acorn's less successful tactical actions 45 years ago against Arkla Gas to protest rising gas rates when we called for a shut-off Arkla Day. Organizationally, it's impossible to prove the negative. But no matter, the important thing is that women were standing up either physically, symbolically, or sympathetically as a reminder that there will be prices to pay for the continued governmental assaults. It was also nice that American women didn't flinch at joining in solidarity with women around the world who for years have now made March 8th their day. The history of the day is momentous. The first Women's Day was originally organized at the end of February 1909 by the Socialist Party of New York. Although some of the story is surrounded in myths of historic protests and strikes, none of that has been confirmed. Driving from Greenville to Little Rock yesterday, I heard the claim that the first Women's Day was in reaction to the disastrous Triangle Shirtwaist Fire that killed 146 largely young immigrant women workers in New York City. But that tragedy was actually 2 years later in 1911. It was likely more a matter of the Socialist Party thinking it was the right thing to do, and though that doesn't sound as epic, perhaps its very solemnity and morality speak even more loudly. March 8th became important and historic when a century ago, in commemoration of Women's Day, women went on strike in St. Petersburg, Russia, demanding an end to World War I, an end to food shortages, and an end to Tsarism, helping trigger the Russian Revolution. In 1965, the Russians made it an official holiday. China did so even earlier, offering a half day off for women in 1949. Finally, the United Nations in 1975 adopted March 8th as International Women's Day, encouraging all countries to celebrate the date. What goes around comes around, and now, to their credit, March 8th became a day to remember in 2017 for women and men in the United States as well. Now, if we could just make every day Women's Day in what still is too much of a man's world. This is Wade Rathke. For questions or comments, www.chieforganizer.org. You take it from here to there.